In a world in which we too often look out for ourselves at the expense of others, God calls us to be different. Philippians 2 says, "Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliott, continuing the story today of Gladys Aylward, the small woman of China. She has just received what she believed was a message directly from God that she must flee from the army in the war between the Nationalists and the Japanese. She has to travel by muleback, and so she immediately needs to go and find the muleteers. And this may not be exactly the point in the story where this fits, because the story that I'm about to tell you is not in the book. It's a story that I heard her tell herself in Alberta, Canada. She was speaking to a large audience there, and she told us unbelievable adventures that she had had in China, and one of them was an occasion when she had to travel through the mountains alone with Chinese muleteers, men who managed the mule teams, and she had no money. And she realized that she was going to have to pay them, and she was going to have to pay for an inn before this journey was over. And so she was extremely worried. But suddenly they came to a tunnel in the mountains, and the muleteers stopped dead and absolutely categorically refused to go through that tunnel. And she pled with them, and she argued with them, and they explained to her that the reason they could not go through the tunnel was that it was filled with demons. And she said, "I don't believe that the demons are going to bother us." And they said, "They will, unless you will make enough noise to scare them away." And so she volunteered to do just that. And they went through the tunnel with Gladys, this tiny little lady, singing hymns at the top of her voice. And she had an unbelievably powerful voice for such a tiny little skinny woman. And so she sang, and they made their way through the tunnel. But when they got to the other end of the tunnel, she said, "There was a wind, and in the wind and the moving of the leaves, there was a voice. And the muleteers were terrified, and they said, 'The demons have followed us through, and they are going to kill us.' And I said to them, 'This is nothing to do with you. This is my God speaking to me.'" And what God was saying to her was, with reference to that money that she was worried about, "You have not, because you ask not." And suddenly I remembered that I was worrying, but I had not been praying, and I had forgotten to pray for the money. And God took us safely through the end of that journey. When we came to the inn, I still had no money, but there was a letter waiting for me. And in the letter was sufficient money to pay for the muleteers and for the inn." And now she's beginning to flee with this crowd that she has been asked to take. Madame Chiang Kai-shek had an orphanage for war orphans. She had 200 who now needed refuge. She managed to find someone to take 100 of the children to safety, but she sent a message to Gladys Aylward that she needed her to take another 100 children. David Davis, a fellow missionary, had taken his family to safety in Chifu. He had walked 1,000 miles. It took him 2 months to come back to the mission where Gladys Aylward was working. It was his responsibility now. He took over the mission, but he insisted that she must leave with the 100 children that Madame Chiang Kai-shek was asking her to take. The general sent her a message. She must retreat with him to safety. Her reply to the general's message was, "Christians never retreat." The second message was, "You must come. The Japanese have put a price on your head, $100. Three people were wanted, a Mandarin, a businessman with nationalist leanings, and the small woman, captured alive." It was the second time that she had received this message, and she believed that surely God must be saying something to her. So the great expedition with 100 refugee children began. They were able to sleep their first night in a temple. They found that all the priests were away. They had with them millet to eat, and that seemed to be just about all they ever had, millet being a kind of grain. And of course they carried an iron pot for cooking, and they drank what they called twig tea. I can only assume that it was made out of twigs from a tree, probably not terribly flavorful, but millet and twig tea seemed to be all they ever had. And the man on the mule offered shelter in his courtyard. So the Lord took care of them that first night. The next morning, the two millet carriers had to go back to their village. They were not allowed to leave the province. And so the man offered his own coolie to carry it. It might last for 2 days. So they spent the next 2 nights out in the fields. There were two older boys who went ahead and marked the trail with whitewash and put Bible texts such as, "This is the way, walk ye in it," or, "Fear not, little flock." They were terribly thirsty as they traveled. There were wells only in the villages, and some of the villages were many miles apart. They had used up all their millet, and they were in the mountains among very steep slopes, so steep that they had to create a human chain to pass the young children down hand to hand. And they were singing a song, "I Will Not Be Afraid." And I remember being taught that song when I was a student in a high school boarding school. And this is how it went. "I will not be afraid, I will not be afraid. I will look upward and travel onward and not be afraid. He says he will be with me, he says he will be with me. He goes before me and is beside me, so I'm not afraid." Picture this tiny little woman from London, 100 Chinese children, trailing along over the mountains and singing that little song. Does it bring tears to your eyes? There were several older children, and they, along with Gladys, had to carry nearly all the bedding. The other children were too small. There were 7 nights. They all wore shoes made of cloth. You can imagine the state that those shoes were in after 7 days of walking. Their feet were bleeding, and the children were crying. And suddenly, there was a shout, "Soldiers!" Of course, they didn't know whether it was Japanese or nationalist. To their great relief, they discovered that the soldiers were nationalists. And then the roar of 2 Japanese fighter planes went overhead. They tore through a cleft in the mountains and thundered overhead. But the children were not harmed. The national troops began to feed the children, and they shared a feast such as they had not seen in years. Gladys explained to these soldiers that they were refugees trying to reach Xi'an. Her Chinese was excellent, though she spoke with a heavy dialect of the north. But although she was small like his own countrywomen and her hair dark, he knew she was a foreigner. "This will soon be a battlefield. Don't you realize that?" he said. "All China is a battlefield," she said wearily. "Are you in charge of these children?" "Yes, I am in charge of them. We are trying to cross the river." He looked at her directly. She was quite a young woman. Her dark hair was scraped back into a bun. Her clothes were old and soiled. There were dark circles under her eyes. Her face had a sallow, unhealthy look. "You are a foreigner?" "Yes, I am a foreigner." "For a foreigner, you chose a strange occupation." She looked steadily at him, and he said, "I think I can get you a boat. We'll need 3 journeys to take you all across, and it is dangerous. If a Japanese plane comes over, when you are halfway across, there will be little hope." "We must cross the river," she said. "You will probably manage to get food in the village on the other side. The people do not like to leave their homes, even when the Japanese come." "I understand," she said. "It was like that with us in Yangcheng." He walked to the river edge, inserted his fingers in his mouth, and whistled loudly 3 times. Of course, they managed to get across the river. And tomorrow we will finish our story about Gladys Aylward.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliot. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.